Today I want us to think about God's mission of love and how we can understand John chapter 3 verse 17. We're exploring a verse that is often overshadowed by its famous predecessor, yet it carries a profound message of hope and love for us. John 3:17 speaks volumes about God's purpose and his mission through Jesus Christ. John 3:17 simply says, God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. And from the outset, I'd say there is no other way. There is no other way of salvation. Jesus is the only way that we can be saved. First point is God's purpose. Salvation, not condemnation. John 3:17 clearly states that God's intention in sending Jesus was not to condemn the world, but to save it. This really contrasts the common perceptions that people have of a judgmental God. This verse actually reveals the heart of God, his desire to redeem, his desire to restore. And understanding God's intent in salvation, not condemnation, it transforms how we approach our God. The truth that's here frees us from fear. It draws us into a loving relationship with our Creator God. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And that's an incredible and amazing truth. When we've entered into relationship with Jesus, when we've accepted him as Lord and Saviour, when we've repented from how we were and fixed our eyes upon him, there is no condemnation. We are redeemed. We are set free. And Romans 8:1, it's a declaration of the freedom, a declaration of the assurance that comes to us when we know that we are in Christ. The phrase no condemnation, it means that those who are in Christ are not subject to the guilty verdict that our sin deserves. It's because Jesus took upon himself the penalty for our sins. Because he died so that we could be completely forgiven and completely reconciled with God. It's all because of him that we have an assurance that we are liberated from sin. When the Apostle Paul writes, no condemnation, he is affirming that believers are no longer under that penalty of sin. And this liberation is not based on us. It's not based on our works. It's not based on how we live. The liberation, the freedom, all comes from Christ Jesus, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God who died in our place. And friends, you and I, we have a new identity. Because we belong to Christ, we have a new identity. We're now called the children of God. We're no longer defined by our past. We're no longer defined by our sins. We are defined by the righteousness of God. And Christ's righteousness is imparted to us. When God looks at us, he sees the righteousness of his Son. Consider a prisoner who's been pardoned by the highest authority. Despite their guilt, they're set free because the authority has cleared their record. In the same way, we're set free from guilt and we're set free from the power of sin because of Jesus' sacrifice for us. We're made new. We're born again. It was Charles Spurgeon who once said, my hope lives not because I am not a sinner, but because I am a sinner for whom Christ died. Christ died for you, he died for me. In our natural state, we are all sinners. But praise God, in Christ, we're redeemed, we're set free. We are chosen. Standing before God, when we're called on that day of judgment to stand before God, we will be safe and we will be secure because of Christ's righteousness, because of his work on our behalf. Yes, we should no longer desire to live as we did. Yes, we should try and be better people. We should attempt to be people who share the love of God, who reach out to the lost. But our works will never save us. We are eternally saved because of what Christ has done. Max Lucado reminds us of this. God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. Is that your desire, friends? Do you want to be more like Christ? Do you want to identify more with the one who died to set you free? God says to us that he loves us. And through his love, we're transformed and we're changed. But not just for our benefit. We are meant to be a benefit to the world in which we live. In our families, in our neighbourhoods, in the workplace, we are meant to show the love of Christ just as it's been shown to us. Second point, the inclusiveness of God's love. John 3:17 emphasises that Jesus was sent for the whole world, indicating the universal scope of God's love. He died and his death was sufficient for all who would believe. But the key is they need to believe. They need to accept Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. And there's no exclusions based on nationality, on race, or on past sins. God offers salvation to everyone. But not everyone will accept that gift, will they? 1 Timothy 2:4. He wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. Friends, is that your desire too? Do you want everyone to be saved? If we're honest about it, there are those that we think are too far gone. There are those that we think that will never, ever possibly come to know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. But God can break through into anyone's life. Look back at history, some of the people that God spoke to, that God changed and transformed. And we know that there are none too far gone that can't be saved when they accept Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Let me give you an example. John Newton, slave trader. You'd think that a man like that could not ever possibly even consider God as part of his life. Yet God broke through. God changed him. And he went from being a slave trader to one of the greatest preachers and songwriters that the world has ever known, proclaiming the truth of who Christ is. And through the message that God spoke through him, bringing many thousands, perhaps even millions, to know Jesus for themselves. And all of us know the most famous hymn probably, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Newton was speaking about himself when he penned those words. I wonder how many of us would actually consider ourselves the wretch. How many of us delude ourselves that actually we weren't that bad, but we all fall short of God's standard. Every single one of us. And yet God was willing to send his son for us. This is the inclusiveness of God's love. This is the inclusiveness of God's mercy. God's will is an inclusive will. He desires that every person in every nation come to know him, that they hear the gospel for themselves. That's why mission is so important, to go into all the world. But the truth of the gospel isn't just for over there. It's for here as well. For the house next door, for the house across the road, for our neighbours, our friends. There's a universal offer of salvation. Where the phrase here says everyone to be saved, it emphasises that salvation is available to all who will believe, without exception. God's grace is extended to every part of humanity. And the knowledge of the truth. Salvation is not just about being rescued from sin. It also involves us coming to that deep understanding of God's truth. And through his truth, our lives are transformed. Be honest with yourself. You should be different today from the day that you came to know Jesus for the first time. Your mind, theoretically, should have been going through the process of renewal. There should be a difference. There should be a noticeable change in how we live. I suppose a useful illustration is if you imagine a doctor that has a cure for a deadly disease and he wants every patient possible to be healed from that deadly disease. that doctor reflects in some way God's wish, God's desire that every person accept the free gift of salvation through his son. Billy Graham said this, God proved his love on the cross when Christ hung and bled and died. It was God saying to the world, I love you. Maybe we struggle to understand the universal scope of God's love. Maybe we fail to understand why he desires that everyone would accept the free gift of salvation. But God loves all. Imagine how his heart breaks when someone rejects him. Imagine how his heart breaks when someone says, no, I think there's another way. He is the only way, the only truth, the only life. Consider the story of the Good Samaritan. The Samaritan helps a Jewish man despite their cultural differences. That parable illustrates the inclusive nature of God's love, a love that transcends barriers of culture or creed or nationality. It was Rick Warren who said, the Great Commission is your commission. It's not just for the missionary, it's not just for the evangelist, it's not just for the pastor. It is our commission, collectively, to share the truth of who Christ is, to explain the need for salvation and understand that God has already given through his son means by which we must be saved. We need to embrace the call, friends, to share the love of God. Not just with those that we think need to hear it, but with everyone. You might look at someone and think, oh, that's a good person. I understand the Pope said recently that everyone is inherently good. That's not what the Bible teaches, is it? The Bible says that we're all bad. We've all fallen short. The world says that everyone is good. Everyone is fine. Everyone can live how they want. And still, life will treat them well. The Bible says, live according to the principles and precepts of God. And we are blessed because we know him. We're blessed because we have a saviour. We have experienced Christ in our lives. But the world needs to experience that too. Third point, the transformative power of God's love. God's saving mission is not just about rescue, it's about transformation. When we accept Jesus, we're not merely saved from judgment. We are given a new life. We're given a new identity. We are adopted into the family of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Friends, don't you know that to be true in your own life? We have a new life, an eternal life. That begins here. At the moment that we're saved, that place is prepared for us in eternity. There's a transformative power that should exist in the lives of those who believe in Christ Jesus as Lord and Saviour. The transformative power of God is at work in us. And for some people, it's a gradual change. For others, there's a radical change that occurs when they come to know Jesus as Lord. We're remade, we're born again, we're made new. And our past sins are meant to be left behind. As our life has been replaced by a new life in Christ. We're meant to be different. We're meant to live differently, speak differently, talk differently, act differently. I was watching a video on YouTube yesterday about people who call themselves Christians, yet their lives are far from what you'd expect them to be. There was a very famous pop star on there, rap star. I'm not going to mention a name, but this is a person who not so long ago made this big thing about coming to Christ and brought out an album, and an album of praise. And yet recently he's decided that despite saying he follows Christ, he's going to pursue a career in the adult film industry. The Word of God says you need to live in a certain way, and he's decided that despite saying that he loves Christ, he's going to go and do that which is wrong in God's sight. And the strange thing is the world is praising him for his choice. They ridiculed him when he said he was a Christian. They turned against him when he stood up and gave testimony. But now that he's decided that his career is going to be in something that is degrading and wrong, they're praising him. The world is strange, isn't it? He has been forgiven for his past sins. His old way of life is meant to have been replaced with a life focused on Christ. And yet he's decided to pour fresh sin into his life. And friends, we can operate in a similar way, can't we? Maybe not going into the adult film industry, but certainly embracing the things that the world says is good when God says, not in my sight. We can all be deluded. We can all be deranged. But we need to live as if we're a new creation. And being a new creation means a new identity. It means no longer embracing sin. It means no longer seeking out darkness, because we are meant to live in light. We are meant to be beacons on a hill, shining the truth of the gospel to those around us. I wonder how many of us send mixed messages to those that we know. How many of us have things that come from our lips that are certainly not praise to God? How many of our friends or our colleagues think to themselves, well, wasn't that person in their church on Sunday? And where did they learn vocabulary like that? For all of us, if you hit your thumb with a hammer, I've said it before, the first thing that comes out of your mouth is not, thank you, Lord, for this pain. You probably resort to a word that you shouldn't use. But if our minds are being renewed, if our minds are being transformed, there are certain things that should no longer exist in our vocabulary. We should be allowing that ongoing transformation to go in our lives. Our new life has begun. Our new life is meant to continue. We need to allow the seeds of that new life to grow, to water them through Bible study, through prayer, through hearing God's word. And yeah, it may take some time. In fact, I would argue that transformation is a lifelong journey. Until God calls us home, we will continue to be being transformed. None of us are going to reach perfection here. But transformation and change is possible. Dramatic transformation and change is possible. Think about the Apostle Paul. He was once a persecutor of Christians, yet he became one of the most fervent apostles, proclaiming Christ. The things that he endured, shipwreck, beatings, imprisonment, none of that stopped him from serving and loving God. Perhaps in our own lives. On a Sunday, we know we should be in the house of the Lord on a Sunday, but the sun's out and the grass needs cutting. Or it was a bank holiday last week and there's this big pile of ironing that's sitting there that is far more important than worshipping God. People find things to put in the way of worshipping God, when actually we should be pushing everything aside and fixing our focus on our Saviour. Transformation comes because of God's love for us and because of our love for God. It's an active thing. Tim Keller stated this: the gospel is this, we are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. It's an amazing truth, isn't it? God loves us. He accepts us. He accepts us as we are, but that doesn't mean he wants us to stay as we were. He wants us to change. And God's love, when we allow it, transforms us and changes us in our very core. So how do we apply what we've heard? If we reflect on these verses, there's a consistent theme of transformation, inclusion, and liberation in Christ. But we need to embrace these truths. We need to allow these truths to shape our lives. And reflecting on John 3:17, we see a clear picture of God's heart and his mission. God's purpose is to save. His love is inclusive, and his transformative power is profound. So let us love him, let us worship him, and let us allow him to change us and transform us. Think of a caterpillar transforming into a butterfly. The caterpillar's old form is completely changed as it becomes a butterfly. It symbolizes the new life that we have in Christ. But maybe some of us, we're still in that intermediate stage, inside the chrysalis. Yeah, it's a little bit gunky in there. It's a little bit gloopy in there. The old life is sort of dissolved partially, but the new creation has not yet fully formed. Allow God to complete his work in you. Fully receive him and trust him and let him work and make you into that butterfly. It was C.S. Lewis who wrote, "Christ says, give me all. Give me all. I don't want so much of your time and so much of your money or so much of your work. I want you." Maybe we compartmentalise things and we think, well, if you include the travel time, you know, I've given God 2 hours on Sunday morning and I spend at least 3 minutes a day praying. And sometimes, if I know Dean's not preaching at an evening service, I'll go to an evening service as well. And then I've given God at least 5 hours this week. Friends, there's 168 hours in the week. And yes, God knows you need to sleep, and God knows you need personal time for washing and whatever else you do in the bathroom. And he knows there are times when you need to work, and he knows there's times when you've got to prepare meals. And he knows there are those times when you have to go to work, but he expects us to provide him with time, to commune with him, to speak to him, to learn more of him, to worship him. How much of your 168 hours in a week do you actually put aside for God? And if you put aside more time, would there be more evidence of transformation in your life than there is now? Friends, this week, think about the freedom that you have from condemnation. Think about all that you have in Christ, the inclusiveness of God's love for you. And think about the transformative power of being a new creation. And then respond to that truth. Embrace God, embrace his love, embrace your time with him, that you might honour him and glorify him and love him. And friends, share these truths with someone who needs to hear the truth about God's love and salvation. This week, who is there that you can reach out to? Who is there that you can share the message of Christ with? The truth of the gospel. And I'm not saying you have to go and read a load of theology books and come at them with the Greek or the Hebrew meaning of specific words that Jesus spoke. Just share the truth that God loves you and the gift of eternal life is available to all who will believe, all who will repent and turn to him. This week, let me encourage you to be an ambassador of the incredible love of Jesus. Maybe you do that just by showing compassion or showing understanding or some act of kindness to those that need it. But maybe this week, each of us can be a living testimony to the radical change that Jesus brings when we trust in him as Lord. And in your prayers this week, friends, thank God for sending Jesus to save you, not to condemn you, but to give you the gift of eternal life. We can all thank God for the freedom that we have. We can all thank God that we have another breath. There is so much in our lives that we can be thankful for. So let's thank him and praise him. May God transform us daily. May God work in us and through us. May God use us for his honour and glory. May we be willing to take part in the mission that he's called us to participate in.